This is a violent and often disturbing tale. You have been warned. Chapter 33, The Book of Daniel.
But I'm not sleepy,
the boy protested again, smiled, and waited for his father's reply. Kevin stood at the door to the bedroom, his finger resting on the light switch, and returned his son's grin. Come on, Danny. You know what time it is. Let's go to sleep. There's a lot to do tomorrow. The child seemed concerned as his smile faded. With a hint of apprehension, he whispered,
But Dad, I don't know any of those kids, and they don't know me. What if they think I'm weird?
Kevin grinned again. Well, you are weird. But don't worry, I'm weird too, so at least they'll see why. Kevin was surprised to see that Danny had not found humor in this. Instead, he seemed distracted by some unspoken thought. He was starting school tomorrow, a new school, and the dread of it was overwhelming. The father looked to his son and understood. Kevin thought for a moment, and then nodded.
Hey, have I ever told you where your name comes from?
Danny blinked, squinted his eyes, and then answered,
My name? What do you mean?
Hold on a sec, Kevin said quickly, and stepped out of the room briefly. He made his way down a short, carpeted hallway, past a sleeping woman in a larger bedroom, tired from her daily toils, until he reached a cozy study. Danny waited patiently for a moment, then saw his father step back into the room. He was smiling and holding a large white children's book loosely in one hand. Kevin eased down onto the edge of the bed and motioned for his son to come closer. Danny turned over the sheets and raised himself over them. The pajama-clad child plopped down beside the man and stared down with interest towards the book. The cover was decorated with brightly colored figures, things that seemed out of place together. There were three men standing in robes from some ancient era, lions snapping at their feet, a circle of fire around them, and at the center, a golden cross. Kevin began to open the book as he said with a warm and soothing tone,
You were named after a great man, someone very special, just like you.
The boy beamed in awe of this majestic script.
Is this book about him? Who are the people in the front? Did they get eaten by the lions?
Kevin paused for a moment, reached out and put an arm around his son, then replied,
No, the lions didn't eat them, not one of them. And that's what makes this such a special book. It's why we named you after him.
Who, Dad? Who?
Kevin turned a long white page. The image of a sinister-looking king stared back. On the opposite page, a man clothed in simple robes, wearing leather sandals, knelt and prayed as a bright light encompassed him.
His name was Daniel, just like you.
Whispers of something lost echo in his mind. Kevin, stumbling into a dying world, searching for the man that took it all away. A broken father, abandoned husband, shell of all the promise life had still to give. Into the flames, the three travelers stretched out their arms and aimed, giving birth to fires of their own, shouting as rage seized their hearts, sending monsters into oblivion. "Get down!" Jim shouted, ducking away from the blast of a 12-gauge shotgun. The wall beside him disintegrated into a spray of chalky dust. Kevin heard him, saw him move, but could not follow. His arm rose instead and unleashed the fury of his weapon. A man as old as he spun as Kevin's bullets ripped apart the arm cradling the black steel that had been aimed towards Jim Peabody. Then, as Kevin pulled the trigger again, the young man's chest opened with a spray of dark red, and he fell into a pile of smoldering debris. Orange embers plumed as his body collapsed upon them. Derek Hamilton had seen men killed, watched them die in front of him. Today, there had been more murder than anyone could stand. But seeing Kevin's wrath manifested in such close proximity and so completely seemed to dull his offense at the act. Adrenaline rushed into his veins, and Hamilton even felt himself smile. This was the sum of every wrong that had been inflicted upon them all. This was the hour of their great reckoning. Jim looked up at Kevin and nodded. The two met eyes as a curtain of dark smoke billowed past them. Today, these men became more than fellow victims, more than accidental friends. Today, they became brothers. Jim got back to his feet, shared a second of silent affirmation with the man that had saved his life, and continued moving ahead. Into the furnace, these three warriors stepped, down a hall that was once white, forward into a lion's den. The heat began to grow, the air thickened, yet they pressed on. Danny smiled widely as he turned the page with his father. Kevin pointed to a new picture. Three men were standing at the center of a chamber, flames rising all around them, and yet they were unharmed. An angel floated above, looking down and softly smiling.
"They weren't hurt?"
Kevin shook his head. "No, the angel protected them." Danny seemed confused.
"Why? How? Why didn't the angel get burnt too?"
Kevin considered this for a second, then offered a sigh. "Well, God is hard to understand sometimes. We don't always know why or even how he makes things happen, but he is there, standing with us, even when we don't know why, even when we can't see how he could be." Danny smiled with perfect innocence.
"Because he loves us?"
Derek fired his pistol as two men in dark camouflage appeared behind them. One of the attackers dropped instantly. The other fell back behind a wall, narrowly escaping new bullets offered by Jim and Kevin as they turned. More soldiers could be heard gathering with the survivor. The harsh noise of magazines loading into automatic rifles overpowered even the dull roar of fire nearby.
"Keep moving!"
Derek shouted. Jim took a step forward, but Kevin noticed Derek take a step away.
"No,"
the injured man protested, but Derek raised a hand sharply.
"You two have to finish this. Do you hear me? You find that fuck, and you finish this."
Kevin found the strength to argue.
"No! Fuck that, Derek! Fuck that! There's an army back there."
Hamilton fixed his eyes upon Kevin Hill and held the stare for a long moment. There was a darkness there that had not been present before, unleashed from the depths of a man that had given his life to the cause of justice and his faith to the disillusion that followed. Time had driven him into the acceptance of futility. But now, that hold had been broken. Derek was renewed, spared, saved. But there is a price we all must pay to make things right. Kevin's eyes tightened, but he could find no more words of protest. Jim screamed, pained at the realization of what had to happen here. He knew that Derek was right. Someone would have to stay, keep the soldiers at their backs from running down all three of them. Derek turned and met Kevin and Jim's frustration with a cold resolve. He spoke with certainty, calming as he did.
Jim, it has been a pleasure knowing you.
Kevin winced as he watched Derek take another step back down the hall. Hamilton offered a final word to them, but never looked back again.
I ain't lying down for nobody. If they want me, they're gonna get more than they bargained for. Move your ass, gentlemen. These walls won't hold much longer.
Kevin felt a lump choke his breath away for a second. Jim stared at the back of Derek's head as the elder stepped away. He never knew how great this man was until now. He wished he had been given more time to have learned from him. The moment lingered a little longer as Hamilton fired a new shot into the hallway and vanished behind a descending cloud of darkness. In an instant, he was gone.
My God, Kevin whispered to himself as he and Jim Peabody turned to the way ahead, focusing their pain towards the task at hand. If there had ever been any doubt, clarity was now given to them.
This was the end of all things. George smashed through the hidden doorway into his secret room. As he pried the hinges back, new shots rang out behind him. One of the two soldiers that followed him here was keeping watch, but a shot from a distant rifle dropped him to the hallway floor. A gaping hole ripped through his forehead. The other opened fire with his machine gun, spraying randomly towards the coming threat. The giant gave a final push as the steel broke and bent, welcoming him into his chamber. George spilled into the dark room, rushed forward, and shouted for the remaining defender to follow. The young man fired a new burst down the roaring hall and then dove over the bent steel door into the room behind the giant. George moved with fixed precision. He ran to a large cabinet and opened it abruptly. Inside were weapons of all manner, three vests of body armor, and an old leather duster. He threw one of the vests to his remaining minion, and then followed it with a military-style shotgun. George pulled another vest over his shoulders and strapped it down against his chest, then turned to arm himself further. He hesitated as the jacket caught his eye. Lingering for longer than he intended, George looked to the musty leather and recalled its origin with some hidden pleasure.
"Mr. George, what's wrong?"
the younger man asked after a moment. George blinked away his thoughts, grabbed the long coat, and threw it on with haste. He turned his full attention then to the remaining guns inside the cupboard. After only seconds, he turned back to the broken doorway, loaded and cocked a massive machine gun, and began firing towards the approaching shadows.
"We have to do something," Deborah shouted.
A panic had seized her heart as soon as she understood. Kevin was trying to save her, struggling against the tide of Dorian's forces, And yet, even through all of the grief that had besieged him and driven him towards this dark fate, he did not know the truth. Perry reached out and took the woman in his arms. She knew now the extent of this horror, for she had seen the monster made flesh, witnessed the product of Dorian's full transformation. She knew what Kevin did not, what he could never have imagined. His son was now the thing that had destroyed him. Perry muttered to the terrified woman,
"You're lucky to be alive, Deborah. Just hold on a second."
"No! Don't you understand? He doesn't know. He thinks Dorian is still the man, still the old man, not his son."
Jason felt his stomach turn.
"My God,"
he whispered at this. Perry turned his cold stare to the doctor, then back to the woman in his arms. With as warm a voice as he could manage, the ranger began to speak again.
"Listen to me. I need you to take this girl and get the hell out of here. She saved my life, maybe all of our lives, and I need you to get her somewhere safe, some place where people can help her. Do you hear me? Do you understand?"
Deborah began to protest.
No, I have to..."
Perry Long took a firm hold upon her wrists with his hands. They were cold, weathered, harsh, like the words that then followed.
"None of you want to be a part of anything I am about to do. None of you. Dr. Rodriguez has done something to me, brought me back from the grave, and I mean to send this man to his. Colt and I will put an end to this."
He met her eyes with an overwhelming power, locking into her stare as though some new strength and power poured from his soul.
"Do you trust me?"
he asked with a terrible intensity. There was a long pause. Cindy and Bob watched in awe. Jason felt his heart skip a beat. Deborah forgot to breathe.
"Yes."
Perry turned his eyes to Cindy. She felt herself blush at this. She hadn't known that the ranger was so intense or such a good man. She had been right about him, and he proved it once more.
"Thank you for saving my life. I know what you did for me, and I owe you everything that I am. I need for you to go with Deborah. She's a good friend, and she will take good care of you."
Cindy shook her head and took a step away. Deborah turned her eyes to the child, collected her thoughts, and then took over the conversation.
"No, stop. Listen to him. We want to help, that's all. Just help. The way you helped us. We won't hurt you. We promise. Things are going to be better."
Cindy smiled, her dream resonating in her thoughts, word for word, as Deborah spoke. The voice was the same. Everything Deborah said was exactly as the dreams had been. There was no difference. A tear ran down the child's face. She clutched the old teddy bear in her pale arms and felt another tear fall. Soon, she succumbed to an unyielding sob and dropped to her knees. The woman stepped over to the girl and took her in her arms. Cindy felt every weight lift away from her as this happened. It was as though destiny was being fulfilled, as though God's promises were being kept. and manifested at this very moment. It was more than her heart could stand. Cindy wrapped her arms around Deborah and cried, releasing every old agony that had bound her to this place, opened herself in a way that she never imagined that she could. Deborah began to cry as well, and soon they shared a lengthy moment, gathering their emotions into a single shared release. Colt watched them by his master's side and whimpered, but made no motion towards them. He felt his friend's presence more intensely than ever before, stronger, as though renewed or intensified by whatever had revived him. He was a good dog, and he would hold his instincts at bay until the new work that he sensed ahead was completed. Jason turned to Perry and muttered lowly, "You aren't ready." Perry Long fixed his gray stare upon Rodriguez with a complete resolve.
"There's an old shop at the lake. The lake ain't there no more, but the shop is. You'll find some bodies, some guns, and things you're gonna need. Take what you can, then wait for me. If I don't make it there by sundown, you take these girls to Mexico."
Jason looked to the woman and the child, then back to the lawman. Without another word, he nodded. Deborah and Cindy whispered to one another. It was comforting for the aged ranger to see this. He felt assured that the three of them would have a chance together. Perry turned his eyes down to his friend and winked. Colt's ears perked up at this instantly. It was time. Perry whistled. Colt came to attention. Deborah and Cindy turned from their conversation to see the ranger step towards the iron stepladder nearby. He seemed somehow taller than before.
"Where are you going?"
Deborah asked with a terror in her voice. The old cowboy leaned back as he grabbed a hold of one of the iron rails. The look he gave her sent a shiver through her body. With a leather voice, Perry Long replied,
"To finish this."
The lions were drawn in meticulous detail. Their coats were brilliant yellow and brown. The teeth were sharply fashioned. Their bodies seemed to burst from the pages, exuding power and strength. Each held the favor of death within its eyes, clear masters of the world they had been taken from. And yet, the meek figure stood at the center of them, unharmed, uncorrupted, protected.
"Daniel,"
the boy whispered with fascination. Kevin nodded.
"The king, he was so amazed that the lions had not eaten him that he threw all of the people that lied about Daniel into the lion's den instead."
"What happened to them?"
Danny whispered.
Derek reached out and seized the machine gun from the corpse of the soldier at his feet. The wall beside him broke apart as another shot fired in his direction, but the bullet screamed past Hamilton as he pressed on. The warriors retreated slowly down the smoky passage, Derek pushing forward, without fear of death, unafraid to meet whatever fate awaited. Still alive. Still alive. Derek screamed a terrible cry of wrath and rage as he returned fire into the disintegrating corridor. Fire and lead streaked to his left and right as men aimed their guns upon him. His bullets met one of them, and as the body fell, Hamilton could see daylight peeking from behind. Somehow, he had managed to push them back. Somehow. The two men remaining suddenly dropped in a spray of dark mist. Derek halted his progress at the sight of this, frozen in disbelief. The ceiling above began to crumble, and he felt embers pouring down over him as the wood above fell apart. Something pushed him ahead towards the nearing sun, moved him beyond his own power, forward, forward, out of the flames and ash. Derek fell to his back as he dove from the collapsing hall. A rush of burning air blew over him, choking away all of the air from his lungs, sending him into a prolonged cough. Hamilton leaned to the ground and gagged as this happened. He could not breathe. Derek felt himself beginning to fade, but then the darkness lessened, breaking the solidity of the sky. A man in a dark black uniform stepped over to Hamilton and stopped a few feet away. Derek turned his eyes up to see the soldier, watching him with captivated interest. The moment seemed to linger as the fires grew. Dorian's compound continued to fall behind them. Gunshots resounded in the distance. But here, these two warriors only looked to the other, as though offering some unspoken courtesy before the end. John lifted his rifle and aimed it between the eyes of the older police officer. He had no idea what had brought this man here, but there was no way that he could allow Hamilton to live. He aligned the sight of his gun with his eye and aimed down the barrel. Derek had lost his weapons in the sudden exit only moments ago. He could only lie here, staring up, and wait for the coming of eternity. The gun clicked. The soldier seemed puzzled by this. He pulled the magazine from his weapon and looked into it for a second, then loaded the gun once more, chambered a round, and aimed. Click.
"Holy Mary, mother of fuck," John whispered to himself.
He dropped the rifle to the ground. Derek felt himself begin to rise. As the soldier retrieved an automatic pistol from his back, Hamilton got to his feet and met the man's stare. The two paused. John chuckled a little.
"Russian weapons. You get what you pay for, I guess."
Before John could aim the pistol at him, Derek swiftly darted towards him. John fired a round, missing his target, as Hamilton tackled the hooded figure to the ground. John and Derek began wrestling for the gun and rolled across the pebbled stone surface of the large driveway. The gun fired again and again until Hamilton finally knocked it from his enemy's hand. John watched his weapon disappear inside one of the smoldering walls nearby. A new anger took him, and he used the energy towards this annoying obstacle. A sharp jab to Derek's ribs and a spinning kick forced the policeman a few feet away and back to the hard ground. John watched the man fall, then dusted himself off and popped his own neck with an intense and angry jolt. The soldier kept his distance for a moment and eyed the fallen officer, seeming to analyze something carefully. After a long delay, he spoke with a thick British accent and pointed a finger down.
"Marines! Right. I've broken one or two of you sappy bastards down in my time. And you, my friend, got the manner of a leather-necked geezer."
Hamilton pulled himself to his feet and stared back at the man in the black mask. There was no need to respond. The steel of old war remained in him, recalled by the fury of battle. It had been 20 years since these skills had been of use. But today, that old conditioning had somehow reemerged. Something in the way he had fought had been recognized. There was no need for further discussion. John moved carefully towards his enemy. Derek turned his body and slowly began to circle. The two eyed each other, cautious, calculating the other's strengths and weaknesses. Age was working against Hamilton. The younger soldier seemed ready for any attack that he might bring. Derek's heart began to race. His anxiety started to take hold.
A cold sweat poured down his forehead, and then John unsheathed his knife.
Alpha Leader, come in!
Ian shouted into his radio, but received no response. Growing more impatient, he continued,
Alpha Leader, please respond! Over!
Before any answer could be offered, though, the door at the back of the armored vehicle opened abruptly. Deafening shots rang out. The soldier at Ian's side slumped over, warm blood spilling down his face. Ian struggled to reach for a sidearm, but before he could find his pistol, a swift blade severed the tendons at his wrist. Ian tried to scream, but there was no time. Vicente slit his throat from behind. The maniacal killer then grabbed both soldiers and pulled them out of their seats, dropping them brutally to the grass below. Vicente licked the blood from his knife and placed it back into his scabbard at his side. He turned his eyes up as Carlos stepped forward, staring into the abandoned personnel carrier. Something caught his attention. Carlos stepped closer. Vicente continued searching the bodies, but noted this strange behavior with a sharp nod.
You see something? What's up?
Carlos watched an orange and black screen with captivated eyes. A wave of light seemed to be emanating from a point on what appeared to be a topographical map. Above this, a live feed was displayed from what seemed to be an airborne drone. Carlos tightened his eyes, muttering as a realization came to him.
We need to contact George.
Vicente rose from the corpses as a small group of Dorian soldiers approached. They looked to Carlos, awaiting orders. Though it pained him to continue to do so, the killer did as well. Carlos eyed the strange readout for a moment longer, thinking, careful to study the detail of the screens. With a strange whisper, he spoke again, almost to himself.
An old friend has come to visit.
This has been Ethan Eternal, Chapter 33, The Book of Daniel. For more information, please visit onemanasylum.com.